This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
In China, Tibetan Buddhists, Uyghur Muslims, house church Christians all suffer from government attempts to restrict their religious practice. In Iran, authorities continue to repress Sufi Muslims, evangelical Christians, Jews, Baha'is, Sunnis, Ahmadis, and others who do not share the government's religious views.
That is U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton summarizing some of the worst offenders on the International Religious Freedom Report released yesterday by the U.S. State Department. Joining us to talk about the findings in this and maybe a common thread in many of the offenders against human rights, but especially religious freedom, Craig Partney's attorney in Santa Barbara, California. He's U.S. Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of the book, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. He's a regular guest here on Issues Etc. Craig, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Great to be with you.
Here's the short list. Actually, it's a pretty long list, sad to say. Burma, China, Eritrea, Iran, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Uzbekistan, Afghanistan, Egypt, Iraq, Nigeria, Pakistan, Russia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Venezuela, and Vietnam. Do you detect a common thread in all of these countries that are among the worst offenders with regard to religious freedom?
Well, I would say, Todd, that the common thread is none of them have taken seriously Christian revelation in formulating their view of human rights that would give them, if they did have a solid theological basis for human rights, they would see that they need to ground them in God's creation of humanity, the equality of all people in God's eyes in terms of their value, that they've been died for by his son at Calvary's cross and justified by his resurrection. And not just that, not only does a solid theology of creation give a basis for human rights, but it also, a solid theology will give you a distrust of human beings and a solid theology of evil, which you don't have and can't find anywhere outside a real seriousness of human evil outside of Christian revelation. Secularism can't produce it. Certainly the world's religions can't produce a real understanding of human depravity. And without a real understanding of human depravity and how it needs to be controlled through legal mechanisms on this earth, you will never have an understanding of the Christian answer for those. So the simple answer is none of the countries mentioned have a serious, defensible doctrine of the value of human beings and take seriously the nature of human evil and sin, and therefore they're incapable of doing anything but absolutizing the state or a religious position.
It is not as though there are no worldviews in play, though.
Right.
The two that I notice probably most common here are Islam and atheism in this long list of countries.
You've also got Buddhism here too in China. And it's very interesting, the history of Buddhism's rather removed approach to an Eastern viewpoint's basic understanding of the importance of being removed from this world has led to human rights abuses over and over in those countries and the inability of people from Eastern perspectives to stand up and say, that is moral evil. And that is wrong, and I have a revelation from God that tells me it's wrong. And China's right there. Unfortunately, Buddhism has a history of being extremely quietistic. But you're right. There's certainly other religious positions there that don't tolerate dissenting views very well, and Islam would be certainly at the top of the list. Wherever it's been in power and has political persuasion, I don't know of an example where there's anything approaching a tolerant society. Because there's a one kingdom mentality. You do create a kingdom on this earth. Allah has demanded that that happen. And so there's no solid Reformation two kingdoms theology that theologically Reformation Christians like Lutherans would have, that realize the importance of governments and laws is to keep us from eating each other so that the gospel can be preached to all creatures.
Do you see any, as you've looked at the issue of human rights, not only in this most recent report, but over your career, and thought about it, spoke about it, do you see any willingness on the part of at least our U.S. State Department to recognize that there are worldviews that inevitably produce human rights abuses and religious rights abuses, as opposed to worldviews that tend to curb such abuses?
Yeah, I mean, that is certainly the case, that worldviews produce consequences in the area of human rights. Whether our State Department can voice it in those terms, I have not seen. Because as soon as you start talking about competing worldviews, immediately you're going to be talking about the inadequacies of Muslim revelation, Buddhism, and other religious worldviews to support an adequate view of human rights. And the State Department has enough trouble doing politics correctly without doing theology correctly. So they tend to go with the consequences of these things. And they'll just simply say people are being oppressed in Iran, like Secretary of State Clinton did. And I'm not chastising her for that. She's correctly pointing out the situation. But the analysis stops there. There's no depth of analysis that says what is the common belief system behind here that is creating this view that I can push down on people that don't agree with me, that I can commit genocide against people who don't agree with me, that I can persecute religious positions that don't agree with me? You don't get that from Christian revelation. You get that from either extreme or not even so extreme mainline Islamic thought and other religious positions, and not to leave out secularism, under which there have been more atrocities in the last 100 years than ever were considered to be the top end of any combined religious persecution. I mean, there's more people who died under Stalin than would ever have been killed under the Crusades or the Spanish Inquisition by many, many factors. And the reason is secularism is a worldview. And it cannot sustain a value of all persons on a secular foundation. It's a moral theology that has no essential defensible foundation.
This is not the first U.S. State Department report on religious abuses, religious rights, that reads like this. It's pretty much like this year after year for decades.
Every year,
now.
Yeah.
What does that say to those who want to lump all religions together and say, look, they're all equally evil? They all just produce bad results when it comes to human dignity and human freedom.
Yeah. Here's the difference. And because people raise this, the apologetical question is, Christians are no different than the rest of these. You have the Inquisition. You have the Crusades. And the response of the Christian is, any atrocity you want to show me, quote, done in the name of Christ that violates Scripture is condemned by Scripture, not supported by it. There's the difference between that and religions that are actually acting consistently with their principles in eliminating dissent, such as in Islam. I mean, the surahs are replete with illustrations of, look, once you take over, there are very limited civil rights you even need to be concerned about. The Jews and the Christians, they've got some perhaps favored status, but it isn't much. You can still take their property and essentially enslave them. And that is the history of those religious positions. This isn't a matter of being argumentative. It's a matter of their own teaching. Whereas in Christianity, those who wanted to advance the cross by the sword are condemned by Christ's own words. You know, I mean, that whole process of let's take it by force was something Peter was doing in the garden. And that wasn't the way of the cross. As is very clear from Christ's own teaching, we are not here to create a heaven on earth. This is an ugly place. Human sin needs to be controlled by laws and by clear prohibitions on human conduct. We need to have those laws enforced, and people, if left to their own devices, will eat one another because the human heart's desperately wicked. It's not an enlightened heart looking for love and happiness where it goes. You take away human legal systems, and as Thomas More says in Man for All Seasons, we would be eating each other each night. We're not nice people, Todd.
We're talking about the International Religious Freedom Report released yesterday by the State Department. Craig Parton is our guest, an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, U.S. Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, author of the book The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. He is also, by the way, featured in our latest Issues Etc. YouTube video called Believe. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. It's right there near the bottom of the page, the latest Issues Etc. YouTube video, which features a short conversation with Craig Parton, our guest, talking about religious freedom. When we come back, how central is religious freedom in particular in the entire context of human rights and human dignity and human freedom? Is it just one freedom among many others, one that perhaps is not essential to human freedom, to human rights, or is it an essential part of human rights overall? Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 13th, feel free to join us and call during this break, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan. And I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
The people of the region have taken exciting first steps toward democracy, but if they hope to consolidate their gains, they cannot trade one form of repression for another. It is our core conviction that religious tolerance is one of the essential elements, not only of a sustainable democracy, but of a peaceful society that respects the rights and dignity of each individual.
That's Hillary Clinton, U.S. State Department head, talking about the International Religious Freedom Report released yesterday by the U.S. State Department. Craig Parton is our guest, among other things. He is the U.S. Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Craig, tell us a little bit about this academy that's held each summer in beautiful Strasbourg, France.
Yes. Every summer we do a two-week advanced seminar in the defense of the Christian faith, integrating the best apologetical answers to the challenges of secularism. And we have teaching in nine basic subject areas, but including the area of human rights, actually our topic today, legal apologetics, historical apologetics, philosophical, literary apologetics, and always scientific and medical ethical issues. And next summer will be at it again. And look forward to anybody who wants to get more information about the International Academy should simply Google International Academy of Apologetics. And the website is right there, www.apologeticsacademy.eu. That's EU for Europe. And we have about 20 people each year. Classes are in English. The food is French. It's the best of France, you know, not French politics, but French cuisine. And we have the faculty come from different walks, four all the time. Two, always Dr. Montgomery, John Warwick Montgomery is on your show regularly, and myself, always teaching a couple of classes each. And then we bring in the best faculty that we know of in the world in apologetics to do courses in which they're particularly strong in.
Folks, you can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Well, now, we heard Secretary of State Clinton say that religious freedom is essential to democracy and to free societies. Is it essential to the overall catalog of human rights, Craig?
Well, I think it is one of the essential human rights. Obviously, a fundamental human right is primarily first the right to life, the right to exist. And obviously, if you don't have the right to life, you don't get to exercise an awful lot of religious freedom. So there are primary human rights, and one is that fundamental right to life, to be free of genocide, free of oppression. But moving very quickly beyond there, there's solid biblical support for the idea that there is to be a priority in civilized society on maximizing the ability to get the gospel out. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That word needs to have maximum freedom in a society to compete on a level playing field with all other viewpoints. And Scripture puts a very high priority on that, and we should work very diligently to protect not the favored status of Christianity in our society by law, but that Christianity would get to compete on an equal status with every other worldview, including secularism, in the schools and in the public square. When that has happened, as it did in the book of Acts in the first century, Christianity turned the world upside down. And so we are careful to protect, should be careful to protect the right of religious freedom and tolerance so that we can maximize the effective preaching of the gospel to all creatures, because fundamentally and most importantly, that's what's going to last, the getting out of the gospel to people, the salvation of people won for by God at Calvary's cross through Christ his Son. And that should be the focus of every Christian human rights activists, is those countries that are oppressing religious freedom and the ability to evangelize, including Israel, ought to be chastised. We shouldn't be giving money to countries that persecute Christian evangelism. We should be forthright and strong on this, that Christians should be able to compete on that level playing field and be able to present the gospel without persecution.
I have to ask that because you brought it up and it was already in my mind. Why is Israel not on the list when it does not permit proselytizing by Christians? when obviously Christians and Muslims suffer quite a bit for religious reasons.
Then right.
Why is it not on the list?
Yeah. Well, evangelical Christians are such strong supporters of Israel that, in essence, Israel can almost do no wrong. And it comes out of a faulty theology, a viewpoint that Israel is got a very unique situation now and will have in the future, that they run by different rules. Some evangelicals give the impression that salvation has almost already been obtained by the Jews, that they don't need to become Christians. This is absolutely false theology. It is damaging to the presentation of the gospel and to souls for whom Christ died. And evangelical Christians, who make up a huge majority of people in this country who support Israel, just turn a deaf ear on human rights abuses. And I can tell you, as a country that has not had a great record of human rights strengths, Israel is unfortunately an illustration in a lot of human rights courses of how not to do it, violating sovereignty of other nations to go run after war crimes perpetrators and others. A number of cases in case law and international human rights come out of proceedings against Israel. So I'm just saying we need to treat people with an even hand when it comes to human rights abuses in the area of religious freedom. And we ought to speak out strongly against the persecution of evangelism in Israel.
Two quick final questions. How would you respond to someone here in America who says, look, I understand all these abuses elsewhere, but here in America we're a Christian nation and Christianity ought to be given a favored status over against other religions? I'm not saying being intolerant, but Christianity ought to be given an edge, an advantage here in our country when it comes to religious freedom.
Yeah, well, first of all, I suggest that they read a book, The Shaping of America by John Warwick Montgomery. The answer is we are not a Christian nation. We're a nation that inherited a lot of Christian capital. Many of our principles are strongly supported scripturally, but nowhere do our constitutional documents refer to Jesus Christ, salvation, the work of the cross, redemption, and it is fundamentally not a Christian nation. So you don't get to first base with me. We are a democratic, constitutional, federal republic, and each of those words has meaning for us. But the important point is that we have a system that I think we do damage when we try to give Christianity a favored legal position. For example, only Christian prayers in public school. I think that's lunacy. It's lunacy. Here in California, they can't teach a second grader to write. You think they can get Trinitarian prayers right? The founders were smarter than that. Said, let's have an equal playing field. Okay, let's allow religions to compete with one another. Jefferson was a universalist at best. Franklin wasn't a Christian. Washington unlikely was a Christian at best. These were deists who had a vague notion of God's existence. I'm not saying that America doesn't have some wonderful institutions, that democratic institutions that are fully consistent with scriptural revelation, but that doesn't mean we're a Christian nation, and I think it's damaging in a secularized society where we try to give non-Christians the impression that once we get 51% of the vote, we're going to enforce Christianity. Because you know what, Todd? As far as I see it, we're losing votes every day, and it's probably 51-49 now at best, and secularists are winning. And if we give the message, you know, once you're in power, you can shove down on the minority, guess what's going to happen? Churches will be closed, Christians will be persecuted more than they are now in this country, and we'll have deserved it.
With that said, and only for a yes or a no, with that said, is Christianity still superior as a basis for religious freedom and religious rights, yes or no?
Yes. Yes, I'd give you more, but you only wanted yes or no. It kills me as a lawyer.
I know.
I can bill for more time on that, you know.
You could send us the invoice. Craig Parton is attorney in Santa Barbara, California. He's U.S. Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights and author of the book, The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. You can purchase Craig's book at our website by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the book, The Defense Never Rests, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. The book is called The Defense Never Rests by Craig Parton. Craig, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll study the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, with Pastor Will Whedon. Our way of, well, we already have today, but our way of continuing remembrance tomorrow of Holy Cross Day, celebrated by the Church. Thursday, we'll discuss Cyprian of Carthage with Dr. Bill Weinrich. And then Friday on Issues Etc., Dr. Gene Edward Veith will join us, and we'll talk about the vocation of being a citizen. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. As always, thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.